this week in my city group, I began our time by torturing our group. Here's what I did. Now, we started the time, and I said, and there's like 20 people in my city group, so silence can be kind of weird with a group that size. But I said, I want to start tonight by, let's just take 5 minutes, and everyone kind of pray silently. Okay, listen, when you try to pray silently for 5 minutes with people around you, 5 minutes seems like an eternity. I couldn't even keep it going for all five. Okay, and it was amazing what started to happen as we talked about and reflected on that 5 minutes after it was over. Like, I was like, what was that like for you? And some people were like, well, I was totally distracted. I started thinking about my to-do list. My mind began to wander. One gentleman's wife, her stomach was kind of rumbling a little. And then, like, so some of us were just totally distracted by that. It's just amazing what happens when we try to pray. And Jesus knows that we have trouble with prayer. So if you're here for the first time this morning, we're in our second week in a series on prayer called Our Father Listens, and we're just walking line by line through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. You see, in Luke 11, Jesus' disciples see his life with the Father, and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think that's kind of the cry of our hearts today, too. We want to learn to pray. We want to know the Father like Jesus did. And so we're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And this is a series on prayer that's really kind of like for the rest of us. It's a series on prayer for those of us who have grown weary in prayer, that have a hard time making time for prayer, whose minds wander during prayer, who fall asleep during prayer, who don't know if we should call God, God, Father, Thou, or whatever. We're just exhausted, but we want to know the Father. If that's you, if you're struggling in prayer, but you're like, I still want to know him, this is a series on prayer for you. And Jesus, knowing that we struggle with prayer, actually begins, and this is what we looked at last week, he begins his teaching on prayer by teaching us how not to pray. In the first few verses of his teaching on prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus just kind of lays out, look, here's how not to pray. And the big idea is the reason so many of us have trouble with prayer is because we don't treat God like a person. We treat him like a force, or we treat him like someone who's not really personal, or it's not really infinite. So when our mind wanders, we fake it as though like he doesn't know. You know, and so Jesus teaches us how to pray, and one of the biggest things is he's saying, don't pretend in prayer. Be real. Don't be like adults in prayer is really Jesus' big idea. And this morning, as we continue looking at Jesus' teaching on how to pray, what we're going to see is he begins to flip the tables. If last week he taught us how not to pray, today he's going to teach us how to pray. This morning is how Jesus begins in teaching his disciples, and by extension, all of us who call on the name of Jesus, his disciples, he's going to teach us how to pray. Not how not to pray. We hit that. If you're new this morning, that's up online. You can listen to it. You can, you know, look at the sermon and all of the text and everything. But this morning, now we're going to move into this question of, okay, so how do we pray? So if you have a Bible, grab it and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have one, there should be one near you, like under your chair or something. Matthew chapter 6 is on page 811 in the Bibles under your chair. If you don't own a Bible, that's our gift to you. Take it home, read it, enjoy it. So we're in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 5 to 9. And as you're getting there, let me just tell you the big idea we're going to unpack this morning. The big idea in how to pray is this. If you want to learn to pray, you have to become like a child. You have to become like a child. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Jesus says, and when you pray, so it's a nice assumption from Jesus. He's giving you the benefit of the doubt that you will. So he says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. So he's saying, look, don't be like the hypocrites that just fake praying to be seen by other people. He's saying they've gotten their reward. People saw them. Congratulations. That's it. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see that? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The big idea this morning is this: if we want to learn to pray like Jesus, we have to pray like children. We have to become like children. You know, all throughout the Gospels, if you're in a city group this week, one of the things we're going to look at is throughout the Gospels, Jesus is always telling his disciples, become like children, ask like children, act like children, believe like children. He's constantly telling them, you need to become like children with your Father. And he says, you can even address God as your Father. And this is a totally revolutionary idea. This idea that an individual human being could address God as Father is totally revolutionary. You see, God did create humanity in his image to know him like children with a father. So in the garden, Adam and Eve, they walk with God and they know God, and there's this intimacy. It's like a child with a father. But Adam and Eve and each of us since then, we have all turned from our Father. We've run from our Father. We've chosen sin over our Father. We've said, I want your stuff, but I don't want you. And the story of the Bible is really the story of a father seeking to redeem his children. So if you read the Old Testament, Genesis 12, Genesis 14, what you see is God basically choosing Abraham, and he's saying, Abraham, you're going to be the father of a nation, and through that nation is going to come one seed, one person, and he is going to redeem a people, a family, a children. And throughout the Old Testament, you see God pursuing his people, and yet they run from him, and they run from him, and they turn from him. They become orphans. But God in his grace pursues us to the point of sending his true son. He pursues us to the point of sending his true son, Jesus Christ, the only sinless one, the only truly dependent one. And it's really interesting if you think about, like, the way we view Jesus is some of the reason we struggle with prayer. Because most of us, we either have one of two ideas of Jesus. Either one, he's like some wimpy hippie who wears a dress and sandals and gets beat up a lot, you know, and he's not real to us in that sense. And then for others of us, like, you've watched one too many Jesus films where Jesus walks around and he's very, very stoic. And Jesus feels nothing, and then he comes into the temple and he sees, oh, the money changers are here. And you know, and he's like Spock, you know, and you see him and you're like, I cannot relate to this Jesus. But what's so surprising to me, if you read the Gospels, see, you wouldn't think, when you think of Jesus like Son of God, robot, you're shocked when you see that he prays a lot. I mean, it's like, why would he have to pray? He's the Son of God. It's always so shocking. Like in Mark chapter 1, Jesus has his like first day of ministry. And it's not like most of our first days of ministry. Like he does some exorcisms and then he heals some people. And then like an entire city shows up at his house. It's not his house because he didn't have one. It was someone else's. So he's homeless and doing ministry at someone else's house. And it's just crazy. And so he wakes up early the next morning. You know what he does? He's like, I'm out of here. He takes off for the desert and just spends time alone with his Father. And it's really interesting when you look at the life of Jesus, when Jesus starts talking about his relationship with the Father, and here's where we get to learn a bit about how to pray. When Jesus begins talking about his relationship with the Father, he becomes very childlike. Just, this is a quote from Paul Miller. He's the author of A Praying Life, which is my favorite book on prayer outside of the Bible. And he says this. He says, when Jesus starts talking about his relationship with the Heavenly Father, Jesus becomes childlike, very dependent. When Jesus tells us to become like little children, he isn't telling us to do anything he isn't already doing. It's true. When you read the Gospels, Jesus becomes very childlike when he starts talking about his father. Just listen to a few verses from John's Gospel. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus is talking. He says, "The Son can do nothing on his own accord," or "of his own accord." John 5:30, "I can do nothing on my own." John 8:28, "I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." You see, Jesus does not have a separate identity from his relationship with the Father. And so because he's fully dependent on the Father, what you see is even the Son of God is constantly praying. He's not just praying like these little snippets all the time. Like, he's got to get away at times, away from the distractions. Like, be encouraged. Apparently, Jesus wasn't good at multitasking. So he would get away by himself to be with his Father. And I think this is part of why Jesus was so good at being just razor focused at one person at a time when he was talking to them. I mean, he's upholding the universe, and he's just like, "April, I am focused on you. Now you're embarrassed. Sorry." You know, so he's just like completely focused. And it's because Jesus is not master multitasker. Because of his humanity, he is necessarily in his identity getting alone with his Father. You know, when we talk about Jesus being the truly sinless one of the things we're talking about is he's the truly dependent one, fully dependent on his Father. And then Jesus, in his love and grace, goes to the cross. He's not dying on the cross for his sin. See, the wages of sin is death, but Jesus has no sin. When he tastes death, he tastes it for us. He's taking the penalty we deserve. He's dying the death we deserve to die. And when he rises from the dead, that's where we have hope that we can have everlasting life. Because if you put your faith and trust in Christ, if you become a follower of Jesus, you're united to him. And because he is resurrected, you'll be raised to new life. But when you're united to Jesus through faith, do you know what you're brought into? You're brought into his life of dependence. You're brought into the dependent life that he has with the Father. You're brought into a childlike life. Like Jesus, if you're united to him, you've become a son or daughter of God. You have access to the Father, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done for you. You have the privileges of a son, not because you deserve them, but because you're united to the one deserving one, Jesus Christ. And when you're united to Jesus, he invites you into a childlike life of faith. He invites you into a praying life. It's a life of praying like a child. And so what I want to do over the next few minutes is just lay out 7 different ways that we can pray like children. Because it's one thing to hear, okay, I'm adopted by God as his son through Jesus Christ. I'm an heir. I can know him. I'm a child with a father. That's amazing. So now what? Like, I see that you're very excited about this. But now what? Where do I go from here? How do I actually pray like a child? Because when you're united to Jesus, he's drawing you into his prayer life. He's drawing you into his childlike life with the Father. So how do you pray like a child? 7 things. Some of these I've gleaned from the from Paul Miller, other things I've read about in Scripture, and others are just coming from my experience living with little children. I don't have any children, but, you know, siblings do their thing. So, how do you pray like a child? I'm hoping that through these 7 things, it'll maybe revolutionize, maybe just one of them, will revolutionize your life with the Father in prayer. So the first thing is this. If you want to pray like a child, well, first you have to be adopted. And then as an adopted child through Christ, you come messy. That's the first thing. Come messy. Prayer is a really funny thing. You approach the Father in prayer and suddenly you get very self-conscious. Have you ever noticed that when you try to pray? Suddenly you're so self-conscious about what you're saying and how you're saying it. And all of a sudden, you begin to look at yourself and you see the mess that you're in, and you try to cover it up. You try and like worship or something, because you know someone told me, you know, acts. I'm supposed to adore first, so it's like, okay, I'm adoring you, but this feels a little forced, and then we start to get these crazy ideas like, well, if I pray for myself, I'm being selfish, so I better not pray for myself. It's incredibly unchildlike of you. It's amazing when you watch children pray or children talk to their parents, they're never frozen by their self preoccupation. They're never frozen by the fact that they have messy issues. They're never frozen by the fact that they're saying, okay, there's snot everywhere and I kind of want you to wipe it off, but I kind of don't. So when you come and like take care of me, I'm going to freak out, but I'm also like inwardly saying thank you. If you've ever tried to blow a child's nose, you know it's like insane. You know, but this is what children do. They come messy. They come messy. Paul Miller has this great line where he says, Jesus does not say, come to me, all you who have learned to pray, whose minds no longer wander, and I will give you rest. Jesus does not say, for those of you who never fall asleep when you pray, for those of you that have this all figured out, for those of you that know exactly how to address God, come to me and I'll give you rest. No, he says, come to me, you who are weary, you who are messy, and I will give you rest. That's a paraphrase. You see, if we're going to be people of prayer, the first thing we have to do is we have to come messy with our wandering minds, with who we are. And then the second thing, and this is really closely related, is if you want to pray like a child, you have to be real. You have to be real. See, the only way to come to God is by being messy. If you don't think you're messy, that's the only thing that'll really disqualify you from coming to God in prayer. Because we only come to the Father through a Savior. The only way to know God is through Jesus Christ. The only way to have a relationship with the Father is to come messy and receive grace through the gospel. See, but what happens when you do? When you receive grace from the Father and you become an adopted child, you can come messy and you can lay down your mask. You can, for the first time, be real with your Father in prayer. You see, you have to come messy, but then you have to be real. And one way that I want to encourage you in being real in prayer is this. If you struggle with your mind wandering in prayer, which all of us do, so I'll just take the if off of there. When you struggle with your mind wandering in prayer, like for me, I cannot really have a prayer time without a journal open to write down like the to-do things that jump into my head. But I don't fake that with God. If it pops into my head and I'm worried about it, that's probably what I need to be praying about anyway. Whatever your mind is wandering to, be real. Lay it before the Father right then and there. If it's like, okay, the to-do list is flooding in, just say, Father, the to-do list is flooding in. I'm going to write it down. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not writing it down. I'm not going to pretend that my mind's not wandering. No, I'm just going to be real. I'm going to lay the mask down. I'm going to tell you, yes, I'm scared. Yes, I'm afraid. I don't know what to say. This is the real me. And you just interact with him as Father. See, when you come messy and you come real, that's where prayer can begin. That's where it starts. It's not where it ends, but it is where it starts. And then the next thing is you have to ask like a child. You have to ask like a child. See, you're allowed to come messy because of the gospel. You don't have to clean yourself up before you come to the Father. Christ has paid your ransom. He will transform you. He will grow you over time. You can come real and messy, and then you can ask like a child. Now, some of you who know me know that when I was in high school, I lived away from home from my family, and I lived with a family that were just close family friends of my parents, okay? And they had two little kids when I moved in with them, and about like 4 or 5 months later, they had a third child, and her name's Genevieve. She's like my goddaughter because they do that sort of thing, and it's awesome. Like, she's just a gem. All three of them, like, they became like my adopted little siblings. And they're awesome. And I learned from them how to ask for things. Okay? If you've ever been around children, the first thing I learned in being around children is they have this extraordinary love for popsicles. I don't know, if you've been around children, children for some reason love popsicles. I've never quite understood this. It's flavored ice, people. You know, like, why is this so extraordinary? But every 5 seconds, can I have a popsicle? Now, the other interesting thing, too, is for 3 and 4-year-olds, popsicle is apparently a very difficult word to pronounce. You know, so they would come to me and they'd say, Matt, and they wouldn't just call me Matt because they have an uncle named Matt also, so they'd call me by my full name. But they can't pronounce Cohen, so they just call me Towen. So they'd say, Matt Towen. I'm like, yes, I'm here. Yeah, you know, it's like, it's so formal, and they're four, you know, and they're just like, Matt Towen, can I have a Pop-a-Till? You know, and it's like, they have this, but here's how they would ask me. They'd ask, and then they'd ask again, and then they'd ask again, and then they'd ask persistently, and then they would start to get annoying and whiny. But they would just keep asking, and they asked with this incredible boldness, this incredible faith, like, thou hast the power over the popsicles. You know, like, they knew, look, in a moment, I could just give them a popsicle. And, you know, I'm not their parents, so I'm not, like, freaking out over the sugar content. I'm like, you're going to live, you know, it's no big deal. I'm not doing the helicopter parenting thing yet. You guys can tell I'm just going to be a great dad. You know, but I'm just like, yeah, you want a popsicle? You'll live. Sure, have a popsicle. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, whatever. But they would just ask, and they'd ask repeatedly, and they would ask boldly, and they would ask without any guile. Like, they wouldn't pretend like they didn't want it. They never tacked on to the end of, can I have a popsicle if it be your will? You know, like, they would never do that sort of thing. I'm not saying you can't do that in prayer, but for goodness sake, if you look at how Jesus commands his people to ask for things in the Gospels, it's insane. He basically tells them to act like brats. I'm serious. Read Matthew chapter 7. Read Luke 11. Read Luke 18. Jesus tells whole parables to basically say, hey, you know what you should be like in prayer? A really annoying woman. This is what he says in Luke chapter 18. Persist. Keep knocking. Keep asking. It's become like children. It's become like children. If we're going to be real in prayer and come messy in prayer, then we have to ask like children, boldly, without guile, without if it be your will. You know, like, it's just out there. I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours. But before that, he's screaming, can you let this cup pass from me? You have to ask like a child. And that's what, it's not just something we're making up about children. It's something he's telling them to do throughout the Gospels. Ask like a child. So what might this actually look like in your prayer life? Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you how it looks in mine. I keep this with me all the time. This is my these are my prayer cards. I'm not showing you these because I want you to copy me. I've not figured out prayer. You never will. I never will. It's a relationship. You can never get to the bottom of it. You know what I mean? But I know that I have a hard time remembering things. And I have a hard time praying boldly for things and praying consistently for things. So I just make these cards. And so, like, for example, this one is Andrea's card. And there are certain things that, like, the Lord's put on my heart that I want to be praying for Andrea. You know, I got, this one is like, you know, Pete's card, and I've got different cards, and it's like, okay, like the other day, I made a new card because we have a shortage of musicians, and I was like, Lord, I'm freaked out. I really believe that you desire excellence in worship, and I want to see musicians raised up with a heart that say, we want to lead God's people in worship in an excellent, non-distracting way. How are we going to do this? So it's like, okay, look, I need to pray persistently. So I just make the card. I'm like, and I just write on it, like, musicians, and off this way, drummers, off this way, you know, keys, and I don't even know anything about music, so I'm like, oh, a guitar player that plays rhythm. I don't know what rhythm guitar is, but I'm like, apparently Pete told me we need it, you know? So I'm like, let's do this, you know? So I'm just making this card, and I'm not going at it, like, really concerned if this is a self-preoccupied thing, because I just simply ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, do you want me to pray this? If I don't get, like, a clear no, I'm like, okay, let's just make this card. And it's amazing, like, over the past couple weeks, who God has raised up. It's just been amazing to watch, but I would have never gotten to see that had I not made the card and been able to pray persistently like a child, freaked out, helpless. And he's answered. And not all the cards turn out just like that. But we have to ask like children. And for me, I'm not capable of even remembering all the things that are pressed in on my heart that I'm concerned about. So I just write them down. There's something about writing it down that almost like gets it off my chest a little bit. And you can do this in a million different ways. I'm not saying you have to make prayer cards. This is just one example. Legalism finds its home in prayer, so I'm trying not to be like, this is how you have to pray. Now, this is just something that helps me pray like a child, to ask like a child. And this leads me to number four, which is if you want to pray like a child, you have to pray helpless. You have to be helpless. You guys ever see Gideon running around in the back sometimes? Kid is so dang cute. All of our children are in trouble now to be compared to that. But it's like he runs around in the back, or I'll come over to Kevin and Kalila's house, and I swear he's never walking around going, I'm hungry, but I just don't really want to admit my needs. No, he just screams. It's amazing. Like soon it'll be words and that, but sometimes in prayer, things just start with screams. They just start with groans. They just start with, I don't even know what to say, but I'm freaking out here, Father. And then soon they turn into words, but you know what gets you started there? Helplessness. Helplessness. Thomas Merton, he's a great old dead guy, said, you know what he say? He's dead, it's okay. You know, he's in heaven, he doesn't care what I'm saying about him. But he said, prayer is an expression of who we are. We are a living incompleteness. We are a gap, an emptiness that calls for fulfillment. He's right. We're helpless. And our helplessness is an invitation to pray. It's an invitation to pray. It's the thing that will get you in the door in prayer, kind of like being messy, kind of like being real. And I would submit that for some of us, prayer isn't really flowing because we haven't come to grips with the reality of our helplessness. And that's where the gospel is so helpful. The gospel reminds us, I'm not even capable of uttering the word Father. I don't deserve to call you Father. I am an orphan by my own nature and choice. You've adopted me by killing your true son in my place. I am truly helpless. And then you just start to apply that helplessness to every area of your life. Like, you know why I have a prayer card for my marriage? Because I am helpless to be a decent husband. I have a prayer card for my life as a pastor because I'm helpless to be the pastor God's called me to be. For so many of us, it's just coming to the end of ourselves and realizing, yes, I'm helpless. I need the Father in prayer. If you're going to pray like a child, you need to come helpless. Fifthly, to pray like a child, you need to mimic the Spirit's words. You need to mimic. Kids are great at this. Super annoying. But my siblings, I'll just call them my siblings, they went through like this, some of you that are parents, you know this phase, they went through a why phase. You know, you say something, it's why. Say something, it's why. Well, let me tell you, when there's three of them, they just start saying why after one another. It's like, why, why? You know, it's like, why? You that's the only word you know. You can't even comprehend the situation. Why are you saying why? But they just say why. You know, they just mimic each other. And then, you know, they think it's the funniest thing to copy you. And to just keep mimicking your words. But, you know, honestly, this is something that we need to learn if we want to pray. We have to become mimickers. You know, in Romans 8:26, Paul says, look, we don't know what to pray. The Spirit intercedes for us. He teaches us to pray, sometimes with just groans. Now, that same Spirit that intercedes for us, that teaches us to pray, is the same Holy Spirit that inspired the Bible. I have found that one of the keys to having a praying life with the Father is to pray the Spirit's words, to pray Scripture. Because I don't always know what to pray for people. So I'll just keep using Andrea as an example because, I don't know, it's like fun to embarrass her, I guess. But on Andrea's prayer card are a few verses. Because honestly, I just got tired of praying like, Father, bless my wife. I was like, it's just not really doing it. You know, so, but I didn't really know what to pray. So what I started to do is I just started observing her life. And then I just asked the Holy Spirit, like, would you show me some verses that I could be praying for Andrea? And so on Andrea's card, this is Andrea's card right here. And on Andrea's card, a couple of the verses that are shooting off is John chapter 15, where Jesus is saying, look, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you can bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. I was just like, look, I think this is where I need to start to pray for Andrea. Just pray that she'll abide in Jesus, that she'll remain close to Jesus. She'll walk with Jesus. She'll read Jesus' word. She'll talk to Jesus. And then the other one I have coming off is Galatians chapter 5, which is the fruit of the Spirit passage. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And so this is what I'm just praying for her. I don't know what to pray, so I'm just going to mimic God's words. Like if you're one of those people that you feel like, I've got to tack on if it be your will at the end of a prayer, just do this. Pray the Bible. You know it's his will. I promise it is God's will if you're like praying for your roommate. Maybe your roommate's like really impatient. Before you nag her about it, talk to God about it. Say, God, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would control her life and that it would produce patience. You may not know what to pray for your roommate, your spouse, your friend, your husband. I guess spouse and husband, the same thing. You know, but you may not know what to pray. Mimic. Just simply mimic. And this is a lot of my prayer life is just mimicking by praying scripture over things, over situations. I've got 4 verses that I'm just constantly praying over you guys. Because the other thing I'm going to do is just be like, oh, God, you know, bless the church. But no, I've got verses to pray for you guys to find your identity in Jesus before everything else. I've got a verse I pray over you that you'll be worshipers. I got verses for you to live in community and then for you to live as missionaries in this city. I don't know what to pray, so I just mimic. I just want to invite you, be like Jesus. Be weak. Be needy. And pray the Father's words back to him. Number 6, spend time with your Father. If you're going to be like a child in prayer, you're going to need to spend time with your Father. I used to love spending time with my dad. It's funny because I've done athletics my entire life. My dad, not an athlete at all. So when everyone else's dad was taking them out to like kick a soccer ball around or taking them to like play catch or something like that, my dad used to take me to pool halls. I don't know why. It was totally inappropriate. But my dad would take me to, and I lived in Los Angeles. Like, these were interesting. You know, so my dad would take me to pool halls. But I didn't care. It was amazing. Like, I grew up in, like, a hippie household. All we ate was organic stuff. But he would take me to a pool hall, and he'd buy me a Snickers bar. It was this incredible thing. And truly, he'd be like, do not tell your mother about this. You know? And we would just play pool and we'd hang out and we'd eat a Snickers bar. And maybe if I was good, like I'd get soda, but usually even he wouldn't allow that. You know? But I just love spending time with him. And if you watch the life of Jesus, that's like what he's like with his heavenly Father. And if you watch the way Jesus spends time with his Father, you see some really interesting things. First of all, it's almost always in the morning. Now, just stop for a second. That is not a law. If you want to learn to pray, you do not have to pray in the morning, but Jesus did. His day was insane. He started it with his Father. And another interesting thing is Jesus is constantly praying out loud. That's how we know anything about his prayer life. He's constantly praying out loud. There's something about speaking out loud to God, I think, that keeps us kind of real in prayer, keeps us getting lost in our minds. So he prayed in the morning out loud with the Father. Try it. Maybe it doesn't work for you. Try something else. But there's no substitute for time alone, unhurried, uninterrupted with your Father. And I know that some of us are like, well, but listen, I just talk to God all the time. Can't I just, you know, pray continually all the time? Why do I need a time with my Father? And first of all, let me say, that's awesome. I'm glad you pray all the time. And I would just want to encourage you that no relationship can survive on sound bites alone. You know, like no relationship can really be sustained by snippets alone. You know, if all of my communication with Andrea was like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I'm running off this way. You know, I'm doing this thing. Most of you would be like, that's a pretty shallow marriage. And so we, you know, we set aside a date night every week because we know, like, we're going to be alone face to face. No relationship can survive without that. And so I'd encourage you, like, if you pray continually, awesome. I'm not putting that down at all. In fact, that's what I'm going to talk about next. But there's really no substitute for time alone with your Father. And I've found in this season of life, I'm busier than I've ever been before. That time just gets more and more sweet, more and more important. So spend time with your Father. And then lastly, cry to your Father continually. If you're going to pray like a child, cry to your Father continually. You do not need to be disciplined. I think Paul Miller is exactly right when he says, you do not have to be disciplined to pray continually. You just have to be poor in spirit. How many of you are ever anxious about something? Good, you already know how to pray continually. Because when you get anxious, you know what you're doing? Listening to yourself. Huge mistake. We do it all the time, though. You know, when you get anxious, you notice you just listen to yourself. Boy, this situation is out of control. If it gets any worse, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh my goodness, this person, I think they're thinking this, but they might think this. And if they begin to think this way, I'm really not sure what I'm going to do. And you know what? Honestly, this outfit has a stain in it. Do you think everyone else knows there's a stain on my shirt? There's a stain on my shirt. Oh my goodness. And you just work yourself up into a frenzy. And first of all, like if it's a stain on your shirt, I hate to break it to you, but everyone's selfish. No one cares there's a stain on your shirt. They're concerned about their shirt. You know, that's it. You know, I mean, we walk into places, we're so self-conscious. It's just illusions of grandeur, you know, like no one cares, you know, it's a sad reality, but they don't, you know, unless like you're Christian, everyone cares you wore a tie and look beautiful, you know, everyone's excited about that. But for the most part, that's just not the case. But if you know how to be anxious, then you know how to pray continually. Actually, I believe that our struggle with anxiety is an invitation from our Father to cry to him continually. I really believe it is. I struggle getting anxious about things. I work myself up into a frenzy. You can just ask Andrea. It happens all the time. That's if you know how to do that, you know how to pray continually. Because if you know how to listen to yourself all the time, then you could probably switch that to talking to God about it constantly. Just watch yourself listening to yourself. Catch yourself doing it and then just turn it around to prayer. You don't really need to be super spiritual to pray continually. You just have to be like a kid. You just have to be worried. You just have to be helpless. You just have to be slightly poor in spirit. You see, Jesus lives the truly dependent life. And by his grace, we can have new life. We can be born again. And we're born again as children of God, and Jesus invites us into a praying life. And last week we saw how not to pray, but this week my encouragement to you is as you begin to learn to pray, as you begin to learn to pray, be like a child. Be like a child. Come messy. Be real. Ask boldly with faith like a child. Be helpless. Mimic using the Bible. Spend time with your Father. Find that secret time, that secret place. There's no substitute for it. And in that time, mimic with the Bible. And then throughout the day, cry out to your Father continually. This is how we pray. We pray like children. You know, Jesus says, our Father in heaven. He's saying he's personal, our Father, and he's infinite. We can approach him. He says, hallowed be your name. What that means is, may your name be praised, glorified, magnified. You hallow the name of God by saying, I am a child. I am not God. You are. I will live the dependent life. That is what it means to hallow, to worship, to praise the name of our God. So as we close, I really want to focus on one thing as we close, but I do want to invite everyone, if you're a follower of Jesus, this morning, if you're saying, I am following Christ and I am not hanging on to sin, I'm repenting even if I'm struggling deeply with it, then I want to encourage you, come to the table, tear off a piece of bread symbolizing Jesus's body broken, dip it in the cup symbolizing his blood shed, and remember what the Father did to adopt you. Stand and worship. Go to the back and be prayed for. Pray right where you are. Give your tithes and offerings. This is a time of response. But before we go into it, I just want to ask that question one more time. Have you been adopted? Like, have you come to Jesus and given him your sin and received his forgiveness and allowed the Father to adopt you as a child, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done? If you're here this morning, you're like, I'm not sure that I know God as Father. I've just known him as a distant figure or some dude they talk about at church or someone I've been running from. If that's you this morning, I want to invite you to come to Christ, to give him your sin, receive his forgiveness, and be adopted as a child. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to continue in worship. You can come forward, you can stand, you can scream, you can take communion. But if you're here today and you're like, look, I don't know if I've been adopted. As people are coming forward to take communion, I just encourage you, come to the back and let someone pray with you. Let someone guide you in trusting in Christ. Or you can just do it right at your seat. But don't leave today without settling the reality that God wants to adopt you through Christ. So I'll be in the back. You can come. I'll pray with you. Others will pray with you. And let's celebrate the God who invites us to come as children through his crucified and risen Son. So I'll pray and we'll continue in worship. Father, thank you so much that you have called us to be children, that you've called us to be needy and weak and helpless and to ask and to spend time with you and to cry to you continually. I pray for everyone in this room that we would begin to approach you as Father and hallow your name by living as children. God, I pray for anyone who's here that doesn't yet know you as Father. I thank you that you're here, they're here, and I pray that they would come. And for all of us, I pray as we stand that with all of who we are, we would worship you, the God who redeems, the God who adopts, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.